You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, and we're going to talk oil and gas, and I'm not talking about dinner. We're going to talk oil and gas with Alex P. Cordy. He is my man when I want to know what's going on in the petrochemical production business. He's the founder and managing partner at Pick Energy. It's a private consulting group in the oil and gas space. Pick Energy analyzes deal flow across industries, connecting projects to capital. Alex focuses attention on oil and gas, seeking projects that make returns for investors of all sizes in today's ever-evolving market. Wow, Alex. High five to you.
High five to me. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing great, Alex. So, look, the gas price went above $2 here in Miami. Does that have any impact on anything you do?
Well, it sure does. We all like to see prices going up in oil and gas. It's kind of rare these days. But things are starting to look a lot better as we look at the next 6, 12, and certainly 18 months.
You know, I had my friend Gus, I could say Gus, I don't care. Gus is a pretty open guy. I had my friend Gus call you. He had a big position in oil and gas a while back, saw it go the same way as the pricing on gas. So, but things are going to come back for people like that. What's the first thing that's going to come back? Is it going to be natural gas, oil? You tell me. I have no idea.
Well, it's funny. You know, you can ask me or you could put 50 geologists and market projectors in the room and get 50 different opinions. But I'd like to say that oil is probably going to bounce back first and the hardest. Gas does not have as bright of a future just because it's so abundant. It's so easy to go capture. And right now, the demand for it just is not enough for us to chip away at our inventories.
Now, it seems to me like the people overseas are playing economic war with us because we have a higher cost of production than they do. And you started to see some of the oil infrastructure reacting to the lower pricing. Does this create a buy opportunity?
Absolutely. We talked about it last time. You know, when anything is distressed, and it's not unique to oil and gas, things are on sale. And so we are watching assets and acreage pop up all over the United States at a supreme discount. So there's a tremendous amount of opportunity. We're all very excited about it. It is a little bit of a game right now, especially as it relates to geopolitics. This whole freeze conversation has been pushing the paper markets up and down pretty violently over the last couple of months. But at the end of the day, the freeze really doesn't adjust the fundamentals in any direction. Essentially, nothing happens.
So then,
what they've done, imagine being in your house and you run around and turn all the faucets on as open as they can go, and you say, okay, I'm going to freeze my water output here. Realistically, though, you can't increase your water in your house because everything's open to its full capacity. That's a lot of what's going on overseas right now, especially in Saudi Arabia. They may be able to increase their production a little bit. Other countries may be able to increase their production a little bit. But all in all, they've optimized their production.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about America because I'm all about keeping America great. I don't think there's a problem with America. I think America is great, and I'm proud to be part of it. But we don't talk politics here, and I'm not making a political statement, but I am wearing a baseball cap. Now, Alex, what do you think is going to happen as far as the election, the impact on the election? Is that going to have any real impact on our energy production and our energy future here?
Realistically, it could. I would say one party, not to be identified, but one party is a little bit more energy friendly than the other. Can they make lasting impressions and changes on the industry as a whole? Probably not. Of course, Sanders and Clinton have made it abundantly clear that they are anti-fracking, that they want to move us away from producing carbon fuels. But at the end of the day, carbon fuels are it's the lifeblood of the United States. And without a viable alternative, you can't just turn off the tap.
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah, go ahead, Alex. Go.
All I'm saying is at the end of the day, unless there's an alternative, we just can't move away from carbon fuels. And so we will continue to produce them because it's what we need. It's what keeps us going.
Now, I live in the state of Florida. The state of Florida's got karst topography. I can't believe I remembered that. Thank you to my professors. which means that we're built on a bunch of sponge-like rocks. And they want to go in and they want to frack, which means they're going to inject all these chemicals into our very porous limestone base here. Is that safe? They have safe technologies where they can, like, put, like, a barrier down or something and it doesn't come up? Because I got to believe this stuff's below the limestone, right?
Absolutely. When you're looking at the water table, and that's the main concern, is does frack fluid contaminate the water table?
Right.
There have been thousands upon thousands of wells fracked in the United States since the first well was fracked decades ago, and you really just don't see contamination of any sense or in any measurable quantity. Every once in a while, you get methane that comes into your pipes or into your well, but that occurs naturally, and that's not unique to or generated by fracking. What you've got when you drill a well are a lot of regulations placed upon these wells that require you to put, you know, between inches and several feet of cement between your well bore and the surrounding environment. It's hard for frack fluid, let alone anything, to penetrate that cement to make its way into your water table. And where you're fracking these wells, realistically, is thousands of feet below the water table.
Now,
your fractures may migrate, you know, as much as 100, 200, 300 feet tops, but you're still thousands of feet below that water table. So you're not going to see a very small amount of chemical as it relates to your frack fluid, which is actually less than 1% is chemicals, migrate thousands of feet up into your water table. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
That's okay. We're here in South Florida where the nuclear power plant's throwing nuclear waste into our water. So I think that we're really concerned about that one too. Now, Alex, the oil and gas companies, are they also investing in some of this alternative energy sources just to hedge their bet? How's that going?
A lot of companies are, and I would say they give a pretty generous budget to their research and development department. I've seen a number of companies investigating ways to turn natural gas into diesel. I've seen some of these companies investigating solar and wind, trying to capture some of the renewable markets. I've also seen a lot of movement on the water side, which has been fascinating.
For sure.
Ways to purify frack water and separate the contaminants from the fresh water so that you can reuse fresh water. Or if you're injecting the water back into the ground at a saltwater disposal well, it's essentially distilled water and has no chemical content in it.
Wow. You know, and you bring something up, which I guess you really didn't, I thought you were talking about, I don't know that you were, is that I think pretty soon water may become as valuable as oil.
Absolutely. Whether or not that's in the near future, who knows, but it's most certainly, I think, the most valuable resource on the planet, and I think it'll have a dollar value attached to it here before long that proves it.
Now, tell me a little bit about your company. I want to just hear a little bit. I read a little blurb about it, but I know you just started it. Tell me a little bit about what your business strategy is and what you're trying to accomplish.
Sure. So we source deals from a number of locations, whether they're family offices, private equity groups, private inventors, you name it, I've seen it. Everything from biotech to oil and gas to real estate. And so the idea is matching those investments and those opportunities up with the capital designed to meet their requirements. It's been great. It's been incredibly busy. The things that come in that are oil and gas focused, energy focused, and more recently water and agriculture focused, we've been taking for ourselves, matching them up with the right guys and helping them raise growth capital as well as build their business out to the point where we've seen a lot of forward momentum and anticipate some pretty great things from our projects.
Listen, we got to talk about real estate because that's what I do. I'd love to talk to you about the real estate and see how we could work together on that. We'll do that offline. So you're seeing a lot of growth from the family offices. We have one of the guys on the Talking Real Estate talking family office. What are you seeing?
The family offices have been great. I've been seeing a lot of them, especially the ones that are in real estate, interested in diversifying their portfolios and moving real estate into oil and gas in some parts through 1031 exchanges, as well as investigating technology and healthcare just to capitalize on some of these markets that have been exhibiting a lot of promise as it relates to growth.
Yeah, you know, the real estate guys, they all have opportunity funds, but they're not able to find any opportunities. They're all having to go core plus, so I got to believe oil and gas will at least give them some yield. We only have about a minute, less than a minute left. Alex, if people want to get information, they want to find out about what you think, maybe want to invest with you, how do they find you?
Well, they can shoot me an email. It's probably the easiest way. It's Alex at Pick Energy Investments. That's P-I-C-K, energyinvestments.com. Or they can give me a call, 703-627-8762.
Yeah, go a little slower because we got Jets fans that listen.
I've been hearing about these Jets fans. I'll say it real slow for them.
Thank you.
703-627-8762.
I love you, Alex. Thanks for playing along. Thanks for coming with some great info that people can use to help them right now and today. Alex P. Cordier, our expert on oil and gas.